for people out there who want to go out and impress other people. Sell yourself as a winner. That's the motto right here. Sell yourself as a winner. What do I mean? Well, when you're promoting a company, a business, you want to get out there and become the person that you are. You know in your heart your skills. You know in your heart what you're capable of. You know in your heart, I am a winner. You can pitch to many people. You can go door to door, or you can do it online. However you do it. And you're not going to get, again, acceptance from other people. That's a given. You know, not everyone's going to be thrilled. Not everyone's going to be satisfied. But how many times are you going to get rejected? You pick yourself up and you go out there and you tell yourself, I am a winner. Regardless of what people say. You know, everybody has their views on others. You know, the whispering, the name calling. Trust me, I've been through that. And it's not a pleasant experience. But I don't let any of those people get to me. I know what my skills are. I know what my capabilities are. And I can push myself to be a better version of myself. The same applies to all of you. No matter what it is you're trying to do to get out there at the top of the ladder, you need to sell yourself as a winner. Winner. Let's go over the word winner. W. Wonderful. I. Intelligent. N. Never ending. N. Nice. E. Enduring. R. Remarkable. Winner. You're a winner. All of you are winners in my book. And again, it doesn't matter when you start in life. It doesn't matter how you start. As long as you start. Don't procrastinate. Don't say you're going to do something. Go out and do it. Go out there and be a better version of yourselves. A lot of people think it's hard. It's not hard. You know who makes it hard? You yourself. Put that hardness on you. You say to yourself, I can't do this. I think people are not going to like me. I'm not going to have any type of success. The door is going to get slammed in my face. No, it's not. That's your mentality. That's your little voice in your head telling you these things. Listen to that other side of you. The side that says, I can do this. I will do this. I will be successful. I am great. I am wonderful. I am a winner. Keep telling that. I am a winner. Sell yourself as a winner. You know when you go on a job interview? Now you want that job, but there's 2, 3, 4, maybe there's like 10 people ahead of you that you think are more qualified. When I was going through, and before I got this job, I looked everywhere. I applied. I had people call me. I went in. Nothing seemed to matter to them in terms of, hey, do you have the experience? Of course. Do you have a college education? No. That's why they turned me away, because I didn't have a degree. I don't need a degree in the field that I know I'm good at. I've been doing it for over 20 years. Okay, you don't need a degree to know how to deal with international, with clients, doing all the work that other people have done far longer than I have and have been in the business for a long time. You know, logistics. How many people know import-export? It's very self-explanatory. For me, I like the import side. I've always told this to people. I like the import. Why A to Z? It's a process. You follow steps, you know, and you can't go wrong. Depending on the industry. Now, I work for a company that has food. It's food-based, okay? I was always interested in that industry because I come from a background of science. Science, food. Again, I have two traits. Logistics and regulatory affairs. I used to work for nutritional companies. I used to work for cosmetic companies. I used to work for various companies, animal health companies. I'm lucky enough now to be in this company. It will be 1 year, the end of next month, that I will be at that company. I've already impressed my boss with this project that we worked on, you know, that I worked on closely with the freight broker. And I thought, oh my God, you got this done. You kept on top of it. Why not? I like a challenge. I say to all of you, go for that gold. Go for that pie in the sky. But sell yourselves as winners. You know, not everybody's going to like you. That's a given. And not everybody's going to want to take you on. That's also a given. But at some point down your careers and your life, someone will accept you. Someone will see the potential that you have. Someone will say, hey, look, I want to work with you. What can you show me? Give me or sell me you. Sell me you. So you're selling yourself. And when you go on an interview, that's what you do. You sell yourself. Again, it took me a long time and I finally found this job. They found me through my resume and they were impressed. And the one lady kept me on the phone for like, it was like a 2 or 3 hour interview, a phone interview. And then I had video interviews with 3 or 4 different people. And then I went to the final interview face to face. And guess what? They liked it. They liked me. Not because I didn't have a degree. I told him I don't have a college degree, but I have years of experience. And he goes, nowadays in certain industries, you don't need to have a college degree. What is a college degree going to give you? Many people I know have gone to college and graduated, and they're still looking for work. So it really doesn't matter whether you have a degree or not. Now, depending on the industry, there are some industries that classify, yes, you need a degree if you're going into a business or if you want to be a medical doctor or a lawyer, you need a degree of some sort. That's understandable. Other industries, not so much. And I say to all of you, don't give up that mentality. You know, you are going to fail. You're going to fail many times. You're going to be rejected many times. You keep going until you find that one group of people or that one person that says, hey, look, I believe in you. I'm going to take a chance on you. Let's work. Let's work together. You know, it's going to take time. You know, and how many times do you fail? You pick yourself up and you do it all over again. But you sell yourself as a winner. Go in there with a winner mentality, not a loser mentality, because everyone seems to think, oh, you know, he or she is a loser. He or she can't do anything. Don't listen to those people. Again, negative people. No. And, you know, you figure, okay, those people that are negative at one point were like you, and look at them now. They're up at the top. So they're discouraging you. They think, oh, you know, what do you know about this? What do you know about that? A lot more than you think. You know, I found out things about myself that I didn't know I have. I have a creative touch. Someone said to me back in the day, you're so good at presenting these podcasts. You're a very good narrator. Now let's bump it up. Let's see if we can get you out at the video platform. So I've been practicing, I've been kind of, you know, doing my own little thing. I want to do a blog. I want to do a YouTube video and address an important issue because I want people to understand what I went through in terms of a medical crisis. You know, how do you handle it? How do you bounce back from it? What do you do? My main passion is breast cancer. But I want to appeal to the third world countries that don't have that proper medical care needed for them to go out and get treated for the disease. You figure, hey, I was lucky enough and I survived 18 years later, but I still feel guilty. Half the times I think, why did I survive when everybody around me failed? Or I won't even use the word failed. They gave up on themselves because they didn't believe in themselves. They didn't think that they could fight a disease that was poisoning their body. You know, again, I felt that way. And I will tell you one thing. I didn't like it. I didn't like it one bit. I didn't like the idea that after I got better from cancer, people saw me differently. They saw me as someone that, well, we don't want to have you in our organization because we're afraid you may get sick all over again. Now, listen, I didn't get the disease on purpose. I don't even know where I got it from. I'm still trying to figure that out. But I'm here. I'm alive. I'm well. I'm able to take on new challenges and go to different areas in my life. And I don't need someone to criticize me and put me down because of it. You know, and I've noticed this too. People with pre-existing conditions are the ones that get attacked. For a long time, I didn't tell anybody I was going through cancer. I kept it in the back of my head, and I thought to myself, well, why am I doing this? Why am I keeping it in the back of my head? Why am I doing that? Why don't I just let the world know? So that if there's someone out there who's going through what I went through, that there could be some comfort in knowing, hey, look, she didn't give up. She had her family. I had my late mother and God giving me that second chance in life, that critical second chance that I myself, if my mother wasn't there, I probably would have given up. In life, when you go through any type of a crisis, whether it's a health crisis, a personal crisis, a work crisis, whatever it might be, you never give up. Yes, time is tough. Times are tough now. Everything is expensive. Everything. But you know what? Put that in the back of your mind and think, hey, look, what can I do to make it easier for me and for my family? If I'm lucky enough to have a family, if I have a husband, children, whoever's in my life. If you have someone who you can fall back on, that's even better. Because now you can both understand. If you're both coming to the same boat, if you're both in the same situation, you have an understanding for one another. I can't turn my back on someone who is, quote, helpless. I can't. I could try and say, oh, well, it's not my problem, it's someone else's. No. We, as human beings and as citizens, need to understand that people in times of tough times, difficult times, strenuous times, need other people to help them. Not saying I'm going to do the work for you. That's not what I'm saying. But I do want to lend a helping hand when I can. My father's work ethic is one that I still looked at from the time that I was a little girl. I admired everything he did and the way he did it. Now, he didn't turn anybody away. Some of his, you know, closest friends, hey, look, I'm running short. Can you lend me a couple of dollars or here and there? And he's like, yeah, sure, as long as you pay him back. But my father at the time, too, would think, well, you know what? They're in a dire situation. I'm not going to turn my back away from them because I was once like that person. Here, take it, and you don't have to worry about paying me back. See, I think my father and me have that same mentality, and I take after him in that sense because if I were to help you out, I don't expect anything in return. But a lot of people say you do so much for other people. Why can't we do something for you? All right. You want to know what I want? I want a medal. I want a trophy with my name on it. That's what I long for. I never had that. I used to go to people's homes back in the day when I was in school. I got an award of some kind. It wasn't a physical trophy. It was just an award for not missing any school time. I think it was back in my junior year they gave me a little plaque. But I wanted something greater, okay? And I used to go over to people's homes. I used to go over to my friends' homes at the time, ex-friends, if you want to call them that. And I would look in their rooms and they would have all these trophies and awards for, you know, anything from sports to any type of a subject in school to whatever. And I was envious. I'll admit that to all of you. I was envious. But I said to myself, one day when it's your turn, you're going to get that same type of an award. Depending on what it is that you do in life that makes a difference. Because there are a lot of people out there that have that mentality where, you know, they look at people that they grew up with and associated with, and they look at them now 20, 30, 40 years later. Oh yeah, they've done better than you. But are they happy? You ask yourself that question. You know, I went to school with people, and I look at them and I think the type of life they led then versus what they lead now. Some of them are very rich, they have their own company, but are they happy? Ask yourself, are you happy with that? The one thing that makes me happy is being around people. Being around someone that I care about. That's a pure reward. That's a pure joy for me. Not pining over what somebody else has because I don't have it. I couldn't care less, and I've told all of this for you, material things. Material things come and go. People can't be replaced. And if you can understand that, you know, if you look at yourself, if you look at teenagers, they get everything they want from their parents. They grew up in a privileged lifestyle. You know, their parents will go out and buy them a car if they do well. If they do, you know, say if they pass a certain grade, oh, I'm going to get you a car for your birthday. Now, you think some kids would be responsible and take care of the car that's given to them? No. Let's go drag racing. Let's cause accidents. The car gets smashed up. Oh, but my mother and father are rich. You get that mentality and you think, well, if you smash up your car, you think your mother and father are going to go out and buy you another vehicle? No, you're going to go out there and work for it yourself. I don't care if you're from privilege. See, nowadays, if you look at different generations, back in the day, again, I came from a family that was not rich but not poor. It was in the middle. But my father did struggle. We had whatever he gave us, and we took it with a grain of salt. I wasn't one to have many things. I still don't have many things. The things that I have, sometimes I don't want. I look around and say, they don't have any value for me. They have no value. They don't mean anything for me. But I worked hard to get those things, right? If I look around this room and I see everything that I have, most of it's not even mine. It's more of my late parents. My mother was, you know, she had these things. She used to collect things, you know, or say fine china and numerous glasses and all this other stuff. And I'm like, she had too many things of everything, too many cutlery. It's too many different things. And I say to myself, what's going on here? You know, and I ask myself this question because I think that it's very important for all of you to understand this. When you have people in your life that you can fall back on, people who will support you through everything and anything, people who will give you so much. And they helped you to succeed. They taught you valuable life lessons. They've given you everything that you could possibly want in your life. And ask yourself this question. Because they've done so much for me, now it's my turn to do something for them. It's called giving back. A lot of people think, well, we're obligated. No. If you want to help someone, you will. It's of your own choosing. I choose. I'm not forced into it. I choose to help people less fortunate than me. But see, again, I do it because of my father's ethic, where when I looked at him and I think, boy, he was a man who gave. And he was the type of man who would go out, would go to the store, pick stuff up for us without even saying, hey, look, or asking, do we want it? He just gave it. Because he wanted to, not because he was forced to. We didn't go in and say, hey, mom, hey, dad, hey, mom, can you get us this? Can you get this? I never did that. I don't even remember doing that with him. If I did, it was maybe for one thing. I used to go with him to the store when he would have to run errands. Because, you know, one of the company, we spent that quality father-daughter time. I don't remember as a little girl running up down the aisles like other children do and wanting things. And then throw temper tantrums because of it. No, I never did that. Why would I do that? Because I don't have it in me to do that. There is a part of me that thinks that it's just wrong, number one. There are children that are spoiled that do that. I've seen it. I've seen many cases of that. I've seen people do that because it's just, you know, I just don't get it at all. You know, I look at myself, I look at the people that have things. I've seen, you know, driving down the street, big homes, fancy vehicles, all the money that you have in this world with everything that you could buy with that money. But again, you're giving me the impression you're better than me because of that. Let's look at it from this perspective. If you've ever gone down a nice fancy neighborhood. What does everybody have in common in the nice fancy neighborhood? They all have stately homes, beautiful cars, well put together, right? Then you come into your area. I have a decent home, a decent car. It may not be the best, but it's something. I have a roof over my head. I have a place to go to sleep at night, a place to eat. If I'm lucky enough, I have people in the house with me. Granted, we are not rich, and I don't want to be rich. I want to be wealthy. But you said, what's the difference? There is a big difference between rich and wealthy. Rich, again, is the fancy home, the fancy car, the fancy trips. You present yourself as a person who looks down upon others when you're rich. You don't want to be seen with the likes of us, and I think that's very, very hurtful to say, but that's society for you. When you're wealthy, you've worked so hard to get where you are in life, but you did it through hard work. It was not given to you. You didn't have someone hand it to you on a silver platter and say, here's your millions. No. You'll be working so many years of your life before you get to the top. And in between that time, you're going to fall many times. But that's a sign of strength. It's a strength. A lot of people think, no, failure is not a strength. Failure is a strength because it tells me how hard you've gone out there. How many times did you go out to promote a product and you got the door slammed in your face or people just didn't want to be bothered? But out of those groups of people, one person's going to come to you and say, hey, look, let's give them a chance. Let's see what they can offer us. Let's see what kind of a service they can give us. And the only way to do that is if you continuously do it. That's why I said sell yourself as a winner. Don't listen to the whispering, the mocking, the teasing. You know, I've gone through that in my life. I've had experiences at a job, very first job I was at. That's what I heard. You can't do anything right. You're always making mistakes. Excuse me? I'm human. We're allowed to make mistakes. Nobody's perfect. Are you perfect? If you tell me you're perfect, you don't belong here. You belong in utopia. That's where perfection exists. And even then, I would question it. Not everybody is always 100% happy. And I blame social media on this. Social media fabricates people's lives. They don't tell you what that person's really going through. Because they'll come out on social media and say, look at me, look what I have. And brag to everybody. But deep down inside, that's not the kind of life they're living. They're trying to appease to their followers and anybody who's out there who will even listen. I don't like social media because of the fact that, number one, you're not better than me. You never have been. You never will be. And number two, I don't care about what you have. But you lack a lot of different things. Compassion, kindness, and understanding towards other people. You lack that. You don't have that. Because everything that you make in your life, when you're out there and you're climbing to the top and you're doing all of this stuff, you know what you're telling me? I am better than you. No, you're not better than me. If I look back at my parents and their life and how they, the type of life they led when they were younger, before they came together. My mother told me her story of how she survived the most crucialist of the crucial. Depression era. Depression. Think of the word depression. That's very grim. You heard about it and read about it and were taught in school. My parents lived it. They lived in the Great Depression. Both of them. And my mother had a hard time. She was the oldest of five, so she became an instant mother at a young age. She gave up her own life to help her mother out and to take care of her siblings. Because who else was there? Yeah, she had her grandfather there, but he didn't take the place of her father. Her father did not want to. He didn't want to step up to the plate. He didn't want to help out. He didn't want to do anything. He just took off. And I never understood that. I can never ever understand that. He took off at the worst time. He took off, and it seems to me like, hey, if that's what you're going to do when the going gets rough, you're going to do that? That bothers me tremendously. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. There's a part of me that feels that, again, and I look at my father and my mother. My mother and father loved each other so much, they would have done so much for each other. They would have helped each other out through good and bad. They would have done whatever they could to make their lives better. And not just for themselves, but for us. Now, my mother didn't work outside the home. She chose to be a wife and mother. She chose. Now, my father could have said, yeah, you know, you don't have to. You can go out and work. He wasn't the type that would put his foot down and say no. But I'll be honest with you, my mother did a fantastic job in taking care of this house. She ran the house like you would a business. She ran the house like you would a business. How do you run a business? You have a leader, right? Now, my father worked outside the home. My mother worked inside the home. And everyone's like, but that's not the same thing. You can't make that analogy. Yes, I can. I watched my mother. I watched my mother when she had to do so much other than houseworking, taking care of her kids. It's a tough job. I told you women have the most difficult job and that they wear many hats, but you know what? You should be proud of the women in your life when you say to yourself, I have someone who I admire. She gives it 100%. And not only does she do it so well, she has an understanding of the human heart. I have an understanding of other people and their situation. I don't want want to be around people who are, quote, high society. It's not me. I had actually was invited a long time ago to go to this function. I just didn't like the way people were. They were fake. And in one time, I would compare myself to the young women there because they thought they were better than me with the way they dressed. I said, your manners could be improved. I don't care about what you have and what you don't have. I care about how you treat other people. And how I see it, you think you're better because of that. You think high society is the way to be. Hey, I will stick my nose up in the air and not care in the world about anybody but myself. I don't like that attitude. And then women get that. And again, I've mentioned this to somebody at work. Women are critical of women, and that will never, ever change. Women will always be critical of other women, whether it's because they're jealous of what other women have. You know, if you look, oh, look at the lifestyle I live. Who cares? Who cares? I don't care. I want to make a point with my stories to all of you to make you understand. Again, I want to be around real people. And you're saying, what do you mean by real people? Real people. People. Real people. Real people. In other words, people who have a heart, people who are compassionate, people who are understanding, people who have an understanding of the human spirit and understand what you're going through right now in the times that we live in, because now it's so difficult. So when you go out there and you make a life for yourself and you want to achieve and be the best that you can be, do yourself a big favor. Sell yourself as a winner. Go in there with a winning mantra. Before you walk into an establishment, before you walk into a conference room with a group of people that you know you got to impress, go in there with a winning attitude. And again, don't let the whispers and the oh, you know, this person, I don't think he or she is right for our organization. Yeah, let them talk. Let them do that. But when you prove yourself and you move up the ranks, they're going to think twice about what they said to you. They will come back to you and say, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. You know, not many of them will do that, but there will be some that feel that, hey, what are you capable of? Show me your skills. I mean, when I first started this job, it took me a long time to adjust because everybody has a way of doing things. And they said, well, once you get comfortable and you know what you're doing, because I've been doing it a lot longer. I did. I assimilated myself. I got myself into that point where now I want to do other things. I want to bump it up and go into the next level, you know, especially when it comes to working on projects. To me, that's a challenge. And my manager complimented me yesterday, and I was so happy. I was like, you know, you did such a hard work. You kept on top of it. We worked closely because this was a project that needed to be done. It was a deadline type of thing. I kept right on it. I love a challenge. Like I told him, it makes me feel good that I've done something to benefit the company, but also to benefit myself. And again, this is why I say to all of you, when you know you have that skill, you know what you're capable of, go out there and sell yourself, but become a winner. Sell yourself as a winner. Sell yourself as a winner. That's all I'm going to say. So again, to wrap up this episode, don't go with the mentality of, oh, you know, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can be great at this. Look, that's that little voice in your head that's telling you to think negative. You have to be positive in this world, and you have to go in there with a winning attitude. And again, don't let other people put you down. Don't even listen to the whispers. Just block everyone out. Keep those negative people out. Keep them out. Keep them out of your head. Keep your negative voice within you out of your head. And again, sell yourself as a winner, because I believe in all of you. You can be great. You can be number one. I have that much faith and confidence in you. I have that much faith and confidence in all of you. God bless all of you. Take care.